Good morning. Good morning. You can tell I'm new here. Okay, can you hear me now? Good. It's an honor to be able to worship with you guys this morning in a different manner. An honor for me and my family. This morning I have one request, and that is for you to be patient with me, because my English grammar is not complete yet, and my pronunciation of some words still not there yet. And also, my grammar sometimes is backwards, but I have prayed and asked God to communicate even through this bad grammar. Besides, being impatient will lead you to sin. So I'm trying to stop you from going there. I would like to pray before we start. If you pray with me, Father, through the way in which Jesus has opened, we come to your throne of grace, to ask for you to speak to us. Our hearts are prepared, and we are willing to receive your word. Give us humbleness, that we may receive it with humbleness and without questioning, for your glory. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, I was going to do it in Spanish, but Scott didn't want to translate for me. So I'm going to try English. I got my little notebook here. Moses said that no human being can see God's face and live. Solomon, in his prayer when he was dedicating the temple, says that the heavens of the heavens cannot contain this God. And the prophet Isaiah says that God can put all of the waters and all the oceans in the hollow of his hand. He says that God can spread the heavens like a curtain, and that he can roll them back like an old garment. What a mighty, awesome, and glorious, majestic God. Paul says that God lives in an unapproachable light. And John says, no one has ever seen God. So this is a mighty, majestic, glorious God. And such a God deserves to be worshiped in the way that he prescribed and deserved. So I want to share with you this morning about worship, because worship is very important. Worship is a privilege for us. It's a privilege Because, oh, what a mighty God we have. It's an honor that God would choose us, elect us to worship Him. And as mighty and glorious and majestic this God is, He calls us to come to His presence for worship. Now, worship is very important for the church collectively. It's very, very important for the individual Christian. Worship is so important. Satan told Jesus, I can give you all of this. All of this can be yours if you only worship me. And in Romans 1, it says that the human beings are being experienced God's wrath because the humanity has chosen to worship their creation instead of His creator. So worship is very important because our God is very mighty. In our scriptures today in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 12, I can read it here. It says, we're going to be looking at some scriptures, probably more than the one that I gave them. So it's a good thing you got the Bible. I know for the ones that don't have it, it's because you already got it all memorized. I'm kidding. So I will read from the New Living Translation. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. This is amazing. Moses said to himself, why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer. The Lord warned, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hittites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I'm the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God in this mountain. So Without a doubt, worship is the first thing in God's agenda for his people. Even before he rescued them out, his plan is very clear. And even though he promised to get them out of Egypt and take them to the promised land, his plan is for them to make a one stop in the mountain so they can learn and be and receive instructions of how to worship. Because God does not receive just any kind of worship. As mighty and powerful as he is, you can't just worship God the way you feel to or want to. And so before he brings them out, they need to come to the mountain for worship. Now, the people has been in Egypt for 400 years. That's a long time to being immersed in one culture, which is full of idols and a people who worship in a way that is unacceptable to God. So all the Israelites know is how to worship Egyptian style, which story says that there was a lot of idols, and in their worship celebration, there was a lot of sexual activity and all kinds of drunkenness. That's the way the Egyptians worship. And so God says, I don't want you to worship me like that. Therefore, I need you to stop at the mountain so you can receive instructions of how to worship me. So worship is very important. So important that the people, you know, when they got to the mountain, they spent a year and months receiving instructions of how to worship. Did that tell you that worship to God is very important? And not only that, but the people are headed to the promised land. And in the promised land, there are the Canaanites. And the Canaanites are even worse when it comes to worship. All kinds of idolatry in the land of Canaan. And all kinds of sexual activities. And what's worse, they had child sacrifice. And so God says, it's necessary that you stop at the mountain and receive instructions of how to worship, because I don't want you to worship me the way they do it in Canaan, where they throw their children and sacrifice them in fire. That's the way of worshiping. And he says, I detest that. So that's the plan. That's God's plan. So get them free. And you might ask this question. People will ask, why did God set me free? Maybe you ask yourself that. Well, it's obvious. He set you free to worship. And he is out to make us true worshipers. Being that where you've been was not a true worship, where you headed, it's not an acceptable worship. And he says, first I'm going to bring you out to me. I'm going to show you who I am, and after that, you will become a true worshiper. Because if you worship God and you base that worship only on your feelings, and your emotions, but do not take into account God's revelation of himself, then that kind of worship is not acceptable to God. And so he said, Moses, when you bring him out, bring him to the mountain so they can worship. Now, 3 months after they got out of Egypt, they finally arrive at the mountain. Now, when we read in chapter 3, it says there God and Moses are talking, and the first thing that God said is, Moses, tell the people that I care, that I know that they're suffering. Tell the people that I am aware of their afflictions and their pain. Tell them that I know that. But not only I know that, I'm going to do something about it. Right? And so God cares about you and I, about our situation, but he also cares that you become a true worshiper. For in true worship, there are great benefits for you and I. And we'll see that in a moment. So if you go with me to chapter 19, we finally, now, in chapter 19, there are finally at the mountain. So once they're on the mountain, then it's time for worship. And then God talked to Moses and set up their first worship meeting. Said, I know. You know, the people have seen God, have seen his power, right? And the people have experienced God's power as they saw it. God brought judgment to Egypt. And so they've seen what God can do to his enemies, right? It was a display of power, God's hand. And they've seen what God can do to those who disobey him so openly. They've seen that. But they also have seen and experienced the mercy, the goodness, and the love of God. For after being a slave for 400 years, you come out of Egypt with all kinds of gold. See, you being a slave and being set free, you don't supposed to come with your bags full of gold, right? They have seen God and experienced his blessings. They have seen and experienced how good God is to them by taking care of their enemies. I mean, they have seen God open the Red Sea for them. They have experienced God's goodness in a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night, water in the desert, and guidance. They have seen what God can do with his power, and they also experience the goodness of God. Is that enough to make us true worshipers? And so God talked to Moses and said, Moses, tell the people I'm coming down. Let's do our first Sunday worship. And so, now, you know, if my pastor tells me that God is coming, and it's going to be here, you know, oh, I want to come and worship him, right? I mean, who doesn't want to see that mighty and powerful and awesome, glorious God? I'll probably be earlier than usual, you know, and ready to worship. But the first thing that we need to learn about true worship is that God is the one who initiates true worship by revealing who he is. God is the one who initiates true worship. Because you can't worship that you don't know. And if you only worship based on your feelings and emotions, but do not take into account who he is, then your worship is not really a true worship. And so the first thing we need to know is God initiates worship. How? By revealing who he is. And see, when God says, I'm coming down, he reveals first and most his holiness. And so to be able to be a true worshiper, we must know the one we worship. We must know the one we worship. And the first thing that God reveals in chapter 19 is his holiness. So there can't be true worship unless we take first into account God's holiness. How do you worship a holy God? Well, how can a sinner worship a holy God? And you can read at home, but it says, God says, I'm coming down for the first worship meeting, and he says, Moses, put some yellow tape around the mountain. Put some boundaries, put some limits, and the worshipers may not cross that line. If they do, they will be put to death. Whoa, what kind of a worship service is that, huh? I mean, I bet the people is excited. We're here to worship. We're here to see them. We're here to touch them, to ask them questions. And God says, well, I'm coming down. And I'm going to come to the top of the mountain. But first, I want to reveal you who I am. And he says that when they were ready, they hear this roaring thunder and lightning flashing. And they see this smoke like a furnace. And the whole mountain was shaking. Because remember, this mighty and powerful and glorious God has descended to the mountain. It's, you know, even the mountain is trying to jump or move out of the way. Because when his holiness is present, everything has got to stay away. So then how do we worship a holy God? Well, we have to take into account that he is holy and treat his holiness like he does. Because, see, the people could not just simply get full of emotions and feelings and run towards the mountain. God says, even if an animal touches it, then it must be put to death. So, first thing, God initiates worship. How? By revealing himself. And the first thing he reveals is his holiness. He said, consecrate the mountain. And how then can we approach God? Because it seems like he is unapproachable. He is unapproachable. But then you see in chapter 19, the second thing that is showing to us, in order for us to bring proper worship, there must be a mediator. There must be someone who connects the worshiper with the one being worshipped. And it's necessary, otherwise, you can't worship on your own. God will not. See, I remember saying this one time, and the people did not like it much. I can tell. I said, listen, God will not take anything that you bring him. Nothing. If it's not through a mediator. And he will not give you anything, either if it's not through a mediator. So he was showing that for worship to be proper, it's got to be brought to him through a mediator. And that's what Moses does. You see Moses in chapter 19, he goes up to the mountain. God said, go tell him what to do. And then the people says, okay, and then Moses go back up. And tell God what they said. And then God said, okay, go tell them what to do. And so we see a mediator between the worshipers and the one being worshipped. So we have to understand that we cannot worship God without a mediator. That's what he has prescribed. Now, I know that you know who the mediator is already. But God is also concerned not just make us true worshipers, but also he is concerned with the condition of the worshiper. You know? With the condition of the worshiper. Because, and this reminds me of Cain and Abel. They both went to worship. But the first thing that God noticed of these two worshipers was not their offerings, but their condition. He says, God saw Abel, saw his heart first, and his offering. So God is also concerned to make us true worshipers to our condition needs to be, what can you give to a holy God? We're holy worship, right? What kind of worship a holy God deserves? A holy worship. Can you and I as human beings, stained by sin, give God holy worship? We can't. And that's why it's necessary for them to stop at the mountain. And now the other thing that God reveals, this is all over the Exodus book, so I know Exodus is not like one of those favorite books to read, right? Like, especially the tabernacle details, right? That's just, I want to go to the good stuff, right? But, I don't know if you notice that 12 chapters of Exodus go to the construction of the tabernacle? Well, that must be important. It was only two chapters when they got out of Egypt and all that stuff, but it took 12 chapters for the construction and the details of the tabernacle, which was the place of worship. That means that it's very important. Everything that God reveals is to our benefit and to make us true worshipers. Everything. Because everything is tied up to how can we approach this mighty and holy God. And I don't know what time I'm supposed to. No? Okay. So it's necessary for worship to be true worship for the individual to know the one he's worshiping. Now, how can then, if God is so unapproachable because of his holiness, how can we approach him? Well, by a mediator. And the next thing that God reveals is the law. See, in Exodus 20. And what does the law reveal to us? What was God trying to communicate when he reveals the law? Well, two things. One is God's perfect character. And the other thing is man's sinful character. So what God is doing, he's revealing why can we not just simply put aside all the revelation and worship him like whatever, however we want. And so what God was trying to show on the mountain is his holiness and our sinfulness. And how can we worship him? And so, because as we're going to see in chapter 32, there people grow impatient. It says, we don't have time for all this revelation stuff. No, we want to worship now. Remember? And so God reveals the law, and the law communicates his holy character, his perfect character, and also at the same time reveals our sinfulness. And God says, but I got that covered. Because I have also appointed a high priest. And what is a high priest? What is someone who's been appointed to intercede on behalf of the people to God? And the main issue is the law is the sin. Separate us from a holy God. And therefore, a sinner cannot directly approach a holy God. And so what God is trying to make us true worshipers is that he first wants to deal with the main thing that is keeping us apart. Sin. There cannot be true worship where sin abides. Because if you notice, when God came on the mountain, he came as a consuming fire. And so, what God is to sin, he is a consuming fire, and there can be no fellowship or communion between holiness and sin. And that's what God is trying to communicate at the mountain and train these guys to make them true worshipers. And He also reveals the law, which reveals his character and reveals our sin. But at the same time, he appointed a priest. And not only that, like I was telling you, the tabernacle. And it took a long time. I mean, 12 chapters of the ark and but there is something special. The tabernacle was going to be God's presence among his people. And the only way that God can abide in the midst of the people is only if sin is out of the way. It's only, again, I can't be with you and sin at the same time. So I designed, God showed Moses a tabernacle in heaven. He said, Moses, this is the true place of worship. And I want you to build a copy of it down. And my presence will be there, but make two rooms, right? The holy room and the holy of holies. Now, the writer of Hebrews was commenting on this as what the tabernacle shows is the way to God was not freely open. That's what it showed. It showed, I can't go into God's presence and fellowship. I cannot, we cannot, because of God's holiness. But there was one, the priest, who will go once a year. And he will not go in without blood, because the blood is the remission of sin, which is the biggest problem for a worshiper. And so, there can be no true worship without a mediator. There can be true worship without a high priest. And we cannot set aside God's revelation and just worship however we want. Because when you set aside God's revelation and worship just the way you want, that might end up being bad for you. And if you see with me chapter 32 of Exodus, we'll see the people saying, we don't have time for this revelation. They push aside God's revelation, and they decided to worship on their own. Now, you can have good intentions. I mean, it sounds good intentions. The people said, let us appoint us another leader, right? Now, you have the people that God just brought out who wants to teach them how to become true worshipers. You got them now. He says, let's choose a mediator for us, right? And they said, we don't know what happened to Moses. Now, they grow impatient. See, because Moses was over there copying and copying the blueprint of the tabernacle, which without that, you will not worship God properly. And they said, but we don't have time for this, all this revelation. Aaron, make us a God. Wow, it sounds good, no? It sounds pious. It sounds legit. We want to worship. Oh, man. Aaron says, you know, that's not a bad idea. After all, we are here to worship. And he says, well, I'm going to be a high priest too. So I'm going to. So they built a out. You see, because when you are worshiping out of your own revelation, you will bring down this glorious and majestic God and reduce him to a cow who eats grass. Right? I think God felt very offended. Mucho offended. To reduce him to a four-legged animal who eats grass. That is what happened when, even in your best intentions, you worship without God's revelation, without knowing the one you're supposed to be worshiping. And now, Aaron says, yeah, the people wants to worship. Okay, well, mate. And then he says, bring the gold, right? And they built this cow. And Aaron saw that the people was excited. Well, that's excited. These people is excited. They want to worship. All right? So Aaron says, okay, I'm going to build an altar for God, right? And so he built an altar. And the people was so excited to worship God that Aaron says, okay, we're having worship tomorrow. See, that's just, we having worship tomorrow. And the people was, oh, so excited. Some of them probably crying, you know, so happy and all emotional. And yes, we're going to worship. And so tomorrow morning, he says, we were having worship. You know what the people did? They got up early in the morning. Like every good worshiper, right? Get up early in the morning, probably sat in the first row, but, you know. And they said they rose up early and began to worship. They began to worship. They brought sacrifices, and they did all this stuff, and then God is over there in the mountain with Moses. And God said to Moses, who are they worshiping? You know, it's not me. Now listen. God says, Moses, the people down there, see, the people were calling it worship. God says, the people has been corrupted. And so what many people sometimes call it worship, God call it corruption. Because when you worship God without his revelation, you're going to end up, number one, downsizing God to an image of an animal. And number two, see, it's easy to worship. Now, they seen God come down the mountain, right? And they say, when God began to speak in that time, they told Moses, Moses, you talk to us because we cannot even bear to hear God's voice. So you be our, you speak to us. But at this time, it's easy to worship a God that has no eyes, right? They cannot see. It's easy to worship a God that can hear, right? Well, that will free you to worship for your own desires. Because that worship end up and God's bringing judgment. Because, you know, this says that the people got up and offered sacrifices and began to dance. And you know, dance led to drinking, and drinking led to all sorts of immorality. Exactly the same thing that they did in Egypt. And so, you know, this worship service ended up with 3,000 people killed and a plague on the people. So it's necessary, in order for worship to be true worship, to be patient and take into account all that God has revealed. And yes, we need to engage our emotions and our feelings and our worship, but they got to be based on what God has revealed. And we need to take into account God's holiness and our sinfulness in order to give proper worship. It is necessary to know Him. If you and I try to bypass His revelation and try to worship on our own, well, maybe you are not giving true worship. And the only way is to have a relationship with His Son. For God appointed a high priest to go into the holies, into God's presence on behalf of the people, and only then was worship given. And so, you can't worship properly the God that you don't know. And did you remember the story of, and maybe this is for next week, but how can you worship someone that you don't know? That's just, you're going to end up doing it bad. When Jesus talked to the woman, the Samaritan woman, she said, "Oh, we've been worshiping." Right? When God, you know, Jesus started talking about sin and that sin that separates you from God. And she says, "My ancestor, I mean, my grandmother, we all been worshiping in this mountain." And Jesus says, "You've not been worshiping. All right, you've been worshiping, but not me, not God." Because He says, how can you worship someone you don't know? Mm-hmm. Now, wouldn't that be a tragedy, to think you'd be doing it for the longest time until you come face to face with the one that really knows what's going on and tells you, you've not been doing it the right way. He says, you worship that which you don't know. So in order to give proper worship, there needs to be addressed that thing that separates us from Him, which is sin. And as the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus has gone before us, enter into the holies of holies with His own blood and your name on it. So now, He says, we have free access. And that's why the veil was torn. When Jesus said it's finished, at the same time, the door got open for you and I to give true worship. So only through Jesus, who is perfect, sinless, and holy, can we give this holy God proper worship. And so the question is, have you been worshiping correctly? Have you been giving true worship? If not, the good news is Jesus entered there for you and He took your name with you. so that you can freely, he says, we have now access to the throne of God. We can come now to his presence. You know, that God who thunder and flashing and fire, now we can come to him. Now there is no boundaries. There is no lines. There is no barriers because Jesus removed the barrier for us to get access directly into the throne of God and worshiping Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, it's our privilege that even though you are a holy and righteous, mighty and powerful God, you gave us, Lord, by your grace and your love and your compassion, the freedom. You have set us free to worship you. And you have given us all the means. You have gave us your revelation. You have gave us the sacrifice and the cross. And you have given us the Holy Spirit. We have all the things necessary for us to come into your presence and give through worship. And we rejoice that we don't fear now because he who is our perfect priest has gone before us and have done it all. We prayed that you make of us even more worshipers, more and more, and that you give us love for your revelation. In Jesus we pray. Amen.